Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the October 2025 edition. Appalachian Apple Magic, harvested from backyards and back roads, fall's most beloved fruit shines in these simple desserts that taste like home. Text and recipes by Sherry Castle. When I think of apples in Appalachian cookery, the image starts in a house, usually in the kitchen, but possibly on a porch or carport, where weathered metal dishpans, wooden crates, or peck baskets sit all around, brimming with fruit ready to be worked up. Some people use one of these peeler core contraptions that clamp onto a counter, but I put great store in cooks who skip the gadgets. In their knowing hands, a stubby paring knife, often with a blade worn into a thin scythe, can quickly spin the skin off an apple in one long ribbon. When I was little, my grandmother and aunts told me that if I dropped an unbroken one over my left shoulder, it would fall into the shape of the initial of someone who had a crush on me, entranced by their mountain woman magic and playful augury. I must have studied yards of these curlicues while I was growing up. Let me tell you, anyone determined to see a letter, perhaps one that's already in mind, will see it. What I didn't understand until later, after I started cooking, was that the real mountain magic lay in the apples and the recipes we made with them. My beloved Appalachia is home to hundreds of storied heirloom kinds, which once sprawled all over the South. We've lost many over time, but some are coming back into popularity thanks to orchardists and cooks who look out for them, and then look after them. Johnny Appleseed meant well, but only grafting can perpetuate a variety, something that humans have known how to do for over 2,000 years. And it's a skill I watched my granddaddy ply in our own backyard. He had 3 trees, but more than a dozen different apples grew on their branches, like a gallery of good flavors. As my friend Diane Flint, a noted orchardist and author of Wild Tamed, Lost, Revived, The Surprising Story of Apples in the South, puts it, every apple with a name has a human desire behind it. The flavor an apple caused a human to pursue and preserve it. It reflects individuals, regions, and cultures. The old-timey types are best eaten fresh, a seasonal delight as anyone who has ever picked and munched on a juicy one on a crisp, clear day can attest. And by picking, I mean not only plucking them off trees, but also seeking and selecting them from farmers' markets or roadside stands that offer local fruits not available in grocery stores. A drive along the winding mountain roads to explore orchards along with a little leaf peeping is a lovely way to spend an autumn afternoon. But the higher calling of most of these farmstead apples way back when and now is to be cooked, dried, stored, or pressed for cider, either for drinking or fermenting into vinegar, for pickling and preserving other foods. I'm smitten with the folklore of Appalachian apples and pore over vintage cookbooks as though they were histories and novels, searching for old ways to make my new dishes more delicious. My favorites, like much of our cuisine, let the impeccable flavor of the main ingredient speak for itself. The desserts on these pages were inspired by the cooks in my life and what they made with the fruit from their backyards. The particular varieties didn't matter to them, and they don't in these recipes either. People used what they had on hand, and so should you. At the end of the day, simply pick good apples and then make good things with them. Maybe that's what those magical peels were trying to spell out all along. Apple butter pie. A jar of apple butter, either homemade or store-bought, delivers subtle sweetness and spice to this custard pie. Making apple butter is an Appalachian tradition. Cooks used to let it bubble outdoors in cast iron cauldrons over open flames, stirring with a wooden paddle, to yield enough for their whole community. These days, it's often prepared in smaller household size batches in a slow cooker, in the oven, or on the stovetop. The hours of gentle simmering release aromas that perfume the whole home. Active 20 minutes, total 3 hours 10 minutes, plus 4 hours of chilling. Serves 8. 3 large eggs. 1 and 1/2 cups apple butter from 1 18-ounce jar. 1/2 cup heavy whipping cream. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 1 9-inch frozen deep dish pie crust shell, baked according to package directions and cooled. Tangy whipped cream. A recipe will follow. And apple pie spice. Step 1. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Whisk together eggs, apple butter, cream, vanilla, and salt in a large bowl until smooth. Pour the filling into the baked and cooled pie crust. Step 2. Bake until the filling is nearly set, about 50 minutes to 1 hour. The center should jiggle, but not slosh when the pie is gently shaken. Let it cool on a wire rack until room temperature, about 2 hours. Cover loosely with plastic wrap and refrigerate until the pie is chilled at least for 4 hours or up to 12. Step 3. Top the pie with tangy whipped cream and dust with apple pie spice. Serve lightly chilled. Tangy whipped cream. Active 10 minutes. Total 10 minutes. Makes about 2 cups. 1 cup heavy whipping cream. 1/4 cup powdered sugar. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. 1/4 cup sour cream. Whisk together cream and powdered sugar in a large chilled bowl until stiff peaks form. About 3 minutes. Whisk in the vanilla and fold in sour cream until completely combined and smooth. Mini apple biscuit puddings. Most fans of Appalachian cuisine find the combination of cooked apples and hot biscuits irresistible. Sometimes the biscuits are fresh from the oven, but we also like to split and toast leftover ones the next morning. That's the inspiration for these bread puddings, which make great entrees for breakfast or brunch. Black walnuts are the local favorite, but hazelnuts, which also grow in the area, are a fine substitute. If you don't have ramekins, try our variation for an 8-inch square dish. The recipe will follow. Active, 40 minutes. Total, 1 hour, 40 minutes. Serves, 6. 4 tablespoons unsalted butter, divided, plus more for the ramekins. 3 tablespoons granulated sugar. 3 and 1/2 cups cubed day-old biscuits from 5 biscuits. 2 small Honeycrisp apples, unpeeled and cut into 3/4 inch cubes, about 2 cups. 3/4 cup packed light brown sugar. 2 teaspoons apple pie spice. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 1/2 cup chopped black walnuts or hazelnuts. 1/4 cup sweetened dried cherries. 4 large eggs. 1 and 1/2 cups whole milk. 2 teaspoons vanilla extract, and powdered sugar. Step 1. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Grease 6 8-ounce ramekins with butter. Pour granulated sugar into 1 buttered ramekin, turning until the bottom and sides are lightly coated with sugar. Pour the excess sugar into another buttered ramekin. Repeat until all the ramekins are coated with sugar. Discard the excess sugar and place the ramekins on a large rimmed baking sheet. Step 2. Microwave 2 tablespoons of the butter in a small heat-proof bowl on high until melted, about 30 seconds. Toss together butter and biscuit pieces on a large rimmed baking sheet and spread in an even layer. Bake until lightly toasted for 10 to 15 minutes. Set aside and let cool. Do not Turn off the oven. Step 3. Melt the remaining 2 tablespoons of butter in a medium skillet over medium high. Stir in the apples, brown sugar, apple pie spice, and salt. Cook, stirring often until apples are tender crisp, about 8 minutes. Stir in black walnuts and dried cherries until combined. Then remove from the heat and let cool slightly, about 10 minutes. Whisk together eggs, milk, and vanilla in a large bowl. Stir in the biscuit pieces and let stand at room temperature, stirring occasionally 5 to 8 minutes. Step 5. Stir cooled apple mixture into the biscuit mixture until combined. Divide evenly among the prepared ramekins and bake until puffed and set, about 30 minutes. Let cool on a wire rack 5 minutes, then dust with powdered sugar and serve warm. Apple biscuit pudding. Active, 40 minutes. Total, 2 hours. Serve 6. In step 1, omit the ramekins and grease an 8-inch square baking dish with butter. Add granulated sugar and rotate the dish until lightly coated with sugar. Discard the excess sugar. Then proceed with the recipe as directed, pouring all of the biscuit and apple mixture into the prepared dish. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit until puffed and set, about 50 minutes. Let cool in the baking dish on a wire rack 5 minutes. Dust with powdered sugar and serve warm. Apple upside down cake. Even though trusty cast iron skillets are traditional in Southern cookery, and with most upside down cakes, this recipe turns out better in a cake pan. I love its unadorned simplicity, but adding a little whipped cream to the top is never a bad idea. Active 35 minutes, total 1 hour 45 minutes, serves 8. The topping. 1/2 cup packed dark brown sugar. 1/4 cup unsalted butter. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. 2 small Honeycrisp apples, unpeeled and sliced, about 1/2 inch thick, 3 cups. The cake. 1 1/2 cups all-purpose flour. 2 teaspoons apple pie spice. 1 1/2 teaspoon baking powder. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 1 cup dark brown sugar packed. 1/2 cup unsalted butter softened. 2 large eggs at room temperature. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. 1/2 cup whole milk. Step 1. Prepare the topping. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Coat a 9-inch round cake pan with cooking spray. Line the bottom with parchment paper, then set aside. Heat the sugar and butter in a small saucepan over medium-high, stirring constantly until the mixture is smooth and thick, about 3 minutes. Remove from the heat and stir in the vanilla and salt. Immediately pour the sugar mixture into the prepared cake pan. Tilt the pan to spread evenly. Arrange the apples in a single layer over the sugar mixture, then set aside. Step 2. Prepare the cake. Whisk together flour, apple pie spice, baking powder, and salt in a small bowl. Set aside. Beat together brown sugar and butter with a stand mixer fitted with a paddle attachment on high speed until light and creamy, about 2 minutes, scraping down the sides of the bowl as needed. With the mixer on low speed, add the eggs, one at a time, beating well after each addition. Beat in the vanilla until just combined. With the mixer on low speed, add the flour mixture to the butter mixture, alternating with the milk, and beating until just combined after each addition. Pour the batter over the apples in the pan and spread evenly. Step 3. Bake until a wooden pick inserted in the center of the cake comes out clean, about 50 minutes. Run a knife around the cake edges and let it cool in the pan on a wire rack 10 minutes. Invert onto a plate, remove and discard the parchment, and let cool at least 10 minutes. Then served warm or at room temperature. Bottoms up. Secrets to upside down success. Coat the pan evenly. Easier than a traditional caramel, a simple mixture of brown sugar, butter, and vanilla and salt fills the bottom of the pan and is then topped with apple wedges. Slice them thinly to make sure they bake up nice and tender. Smooth the batter. There's nothing complicated about this batter, which gets a boost of caramel flavor from brown sugar and a cozy dash of apple pie spice. Use an offset spatula to spread it in an even layer to completely cover the fruit. Bake, flip, and reveal. When it comes to unveiling this gorgeous cake, it's important to practice patience. Let it cool in the pan for 10 minutes, and then quickly invert it onto a plate and remove the parchment paper. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.